A major software vendor is telling the General Services Administration thanks, but no thanks when it comes to remaining on the IT Schedule 70. Giant Oracle has decided to no longer sell through this bedrock acquisition vehicle. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about what might be driving Oracle's decision to exit the GSA schedule. He joins me now with more. And Jason, I can feel the ground trembling with Oracle, one of the original contractors, a product that was developed originally for the federal government way back in the dim past, off GSA Schedule 70?
That's what's happening. I have multiple sources who are confirming that not only is Oracle not going to sell directly through the GSA schedule, but they're not even going through resellers anymore. So resellers like Mythix or DLT Solutions or Immix Group, to just name a couple, they said, you know what, we're done. We're just not going to do it anymore. And I think part of the reason why this is happening, Tom, is the False Claims Act and compliance issues.
Because they have been hit, right?
They have been hit. $300 million plus over the last decade. That's what Oracle's paid in fines. And I think what they're seeing is, hey, we don't need the hassle anymore. We can sell through other vehicles in government. So let's be clear here, Tom. Oracle's not leaving the federal market. They're just leaving the GSA schedules. And while it's a big deal, again, They're still going to sell through whether it's Army Chess or the Enterprise Software Initiative through the DoD.
Or direct,
right. They'll have other things. But mostly Oracle, and we're seeing this with Oracle, we're seeing this with Microsoft, with Amazon, they really are using third-party resellers.
I guess that False Claims Act is almost too easy to violate when you have too many vehicles and one of them has a price reduction clause still in it. I guess that's still the extent that it's just too easy to get bitten by, oh, you charged this here and this here and a big fine.
And I think that's part of it. I've talked to several different industry experts, and everyone points back to a couple things. Number one is Oracle, just as this example, since we're talking about them, they did $38.2 billion worth of revenue worldwide in 2015. Their government revenue accounted for about 6% of their total revenue, about $2.6 billion, give or take. Not a lot of money. So to go through all these compliance and the cost of compliance and the lawyers they need, they said, well, you know, maybe this isn't worth it anymore. The second thing that came up from these experts that I spoke with was a lot of big vendors are saying, we're getting hit by the Justice Department's lawsuits under the False Claims Act. We're getting it, the compliance of this, the cost for lawyers' fees on our end is huge. So we're going to minimize how much sales we do through the GSA schedule, and we're going to sell through other vehicles. And I think Oracle, they're saying, probably just said, you know what? We don't even need to use GSA schedules. It's not worth it anymore. We're going to go in a different direction. And the cost of meeting that compliance issues, just it was too much. And again, Oracle, again, $350 million in fines over the last decade, including a whopping $200 million fine back in 2011. Tom, I think the last straw that a lot of people pointed to was a 2015 case where VMware and Carahsoft got hit with a $75.5 million fine for violating the False Claims Act, or allegedly, I should say, violating the False Claims Act, because, again, a lot of times no one admits to doing a wrongdoing. They just pay a fine to make it go away. And that really changed the paradigm in the sense of usually the resellers were giving the major vendors some shield, some protection against these False Claims Act, because the major vendors like VMware or Oracle or Microsoft, whoever, could point to their resellers and say, oh, they're going to take care of all my compliance issues. But because of this case, I think people are stepping back going, maybe I don't have that shield anymore. Maybe I should think about my business processes and business plans.
And those vendors are so well known and so widely heard of, and in many cases are the reference standards. Let's face it, maybe the government won't admit that, but for the class of product that they're in, that they really don't need that imprimatur anymore of the GSA schedule, which the little guys may still need.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that's one of the sources highlighted to me was maybe because Oracle has such a high market share, they said, what if they have 70 or 80 or 90% of the database market share in the government? Do they even need the GSA schedule anymore? And they looked at it from a business decision. So it's not worth the cost of compliance for the payoff that we're getting, because they haven't sold directly through the GSA schedule since 2012. And they've been doing mostly resellers. So it's an interesting snowball effect here, Tom. If they're not selling through the GSA schedule directly, and then no longer the reseller is going to sell through the GSA schedule, what does that mean for the GSA schedule? And could this impact other large vendors who look at Oracle and say, you know what, maybe we don't need the GSA schedule either? Now, to be fair, GSA did not comment directly on Oracle. Oracle did not comment for this story, but GSA did talk about the false claims concerns of vendors and said, listen, through the transactional data reporting rule that they're putting out, the TDR, that should help deal with this compliance issue. They realize the price reduction clause, the most favored nations clause, are clauses that cause big compliance costs, headaches for vendors, and they are trying to change it using this TDR. Now, Tom, we could have a whole discussion on the TDR as another compliance headache, but the GSA recognizes the challenges with the price reduction clause.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, let's flip this around and look at it from a federal buyer standpoint. What does this mean? Will it be harder to get Oracle products, or what's the trend there?
I don't think it's going to be that much harder to get Oracle products. Again, Oracle, again, you said it could sell directly or they have other vehicles. I think the biggest challenge here is the, we'll use a Washington, D.C. term, Tom, the optics of the situation. When a big company like Oracle says to GSA, it's too much trouble and we're not going to work with you guys anymore, how could that mean for other agencies or even other vendors who say, you know what, maybe it's too much trouble for us too, and could you start seeing several large-scale vendors say, exit the GSA schedule, very similar to what Oracle's doing. And I think GSA has got to guard against that issue and really start looking at, can they fix the PRC, the price reduction clause, the most favored nations clauses, commercial services practices clauses sooner than later?
Because what's a small percentage for Oracle or Amazon or Microsoft is a big piece of GSA Schedule 70 sales.
Correct. Now, GSA Schedule 70, I think if I remember the numbers right, are doing somewhere between $14 and $17 billion in sales over the last 4, 5, 6 years. And yeah, Oracle didn't do a lot, but if you look at their resellers, this is, again, the top five resellers in no particular order, Mythix, DLT Solutions, MX Groups, Carisoft, and CDWG, accounted for about $1.7 billion in sales on the GSA Schedule 70. It's 11% of all spending. If all of a sudden those sales got cut in half, that's a big chunk leaving the GSA schedule. So I think GSA is paying attention to this.
All right. And briefly, Jason, you also write about DOD's next challenge with cloud computing. There's always a next challenge in cloud computing.
Feels that way.
What is it and what are they doing about it?
So this is interesting. So DOD has been trying to move to the commercial cloud. And one of the big hiccups that they're finding is this idea of application security. So if DOD moves an application to a commercial cloud, who is responsible for securing that application? How is it being secured? And what are the approaches they need from a contracting perspective to ensure that application is secured? If you're just moving infrastructure, for instance, you're going to run your systems on someone else's cloud, but you still run those systems, that's different from a security perspective than an application security. The other piece of this, Tom, is this idea of those applications used to reside in a DOD-owned, managed-run data center. Now it's being run in a cloud run by somebody else. So what DOD is doing is they're developing something they're calling a secure cloud computing architecture. And okay, before your eyes glaze over because I said the term architecture, really what this is just a way to manage applications at the most highest impact levels, 4 and 5 for DOD, and to ensure that those applications are secured and also have the functionality and the operations that the mission needs.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, thanks for that update.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Read Jason's notebook online now at federalnewsradio.com and share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.